their ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
A two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
I'll tell you what, we're going to segue right into Star Trek Discovery from this, because it makes me think of Star Trek Discovery in that the way that it's a story arc that goes for the whole season, the way that the production value is so high, the way that they try to make it look more like a movie-level caliber for Star Trek Discovery. I think all of that is another way that they're trying to reach to a younger audience, not as young as Lower Deck, but an audience of their 20s who can watch this and go, oh, I can watch this. Where they're thinking a 20-year-old might look at Next Generation and go, oh my gosh, it's not even HD why are they in someone's living room having this adventure? I mean, because it really does feel like you're in someone's living room on that show. Whereas, Discovery feels more like you're in a kind of has that submarine feel to it or whatever, and yet it's expansive and it's, I don't know. It to me, a lot of it says it's done to try and reach a different audience. And heck, if it reached us and we've all three watched it, especially if we've all three enjoyed it, which we'll get into in a second, that's pretty amazing just to be able to do that. Online, as I've been reading about Discovery, a lot of folks hate that show or really like to. Well, my favorite insult of it is this: I've never had to pay for a Star Trek TV show. Why should I have to pay for this one? It sucks. So, one, you have never watched an episode, so how can you be telling me it sucks? And two, I would pay two or three times the price of subscription for the monthly subscription that I pay for CBS All Access to get something as high caliber as Discovery. Discovery, I like the production value. I don't want it to look like it's on somebody's living room that they're filming this in. And to me, it works great. I love that series. And I would put Discovery, if I was going to put everything in place, I would say my number one favorite Star Trek of all time is the first season of the original series. Okay. Second best season I've ever enjoyed of Star Trek is Discovery season 2. Is that good? I love that season 2 of Discovery. And then probably following that is Discovery season 1. So I'm very happy with it.
Bob, yeah, I find it better than the, you know, the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and stuff like that. I think it's better than those.
Really? Okay. I was surprised. But what about, you were saying before we got on air here, you were saying that one of your favorites was Enterprise. Do you think Star Trek Enterprise was of the same ballpark caliber of this series? Do you think this series, Discovery, is better? I mean, how would you rate those two against each other?
Yeah. I think so. I think they have a lot of the same feel to them, at least to me. You know, the other ones, like, they're big, expansive, they're almost like they're trying to morally preach or whatever, more, you know, Next Generation and stuff, where this one and Enterprise are, you know, more action oriented, you know, and that
I would agree with that. I hadn't thought about that. That is a similarity. They are more action oriented, less moral of the week sort of thing than
right.
Yeah, interesting. Huh. And more, if they have a moral or whatever, it's just sort of trying to reflect humanity and the human perspective.
Right, exactly. But it's not the main driving force behind the story. I think it is with some of the other series.
Dang, you see? I In my brain, I go, should I have Jim on here? Is he going to add to our he adds to our discussion. Bob, do I want you on here anymore? I don't know. Maybe Jim, I can't vote. You guys can't vote me off the island.
He's just Bob, you know.
I'm starting my own podcast. You are
the Bob podcast.
I think called Star Trek, better than Daryl's. Or Buck Benny, sorry.
Well, Bob, what do you think of Discovery? I mean, you're fresh eyes to it because you just watched it for the first time this week, correct?
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. So what is your impression? To get the audience straight, you watched the first two episodes?
Yep.
And that was beautiful because when they originally aired this, when it was new, they put it on CBS, regular CBS, for the opening. They showed the pilot, they showed the first two episodes, and then you had to watch the rest of it by going to CBS All Access, which I think was brilliant, and that they should do. I think every season they should be doing that, putting a tease out on regular CBS and saying, come to CBS All Access to watch the rest of this. I don't know why they don't do that, but they haven't that I've seen. But anyway, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. Like you said, the production value was just it's amazing. Like you feel like you're like in the theater watching a movie. The other thing is it took me a bit to get into the plot line just because it kind of pop you into the desert.
Yes.
The other thing about it, yeah, it takes a little while to build. The other thing about it, I think that I've read things online, especially if men have said that if you're old and sexist, all the main characters are female, which I don't have trouble with. I thought that
Jim, so why do you like it if you're an old sexist person? Just kidding.
Me?
he obviously likes it, so that's a good thing. No, I'd say I don't understand why guys have a problem with the women being somewhat in charge. I'm okay with that.
I think the comment people made online is they don't see, you know, some men don't see themselves in it because there's really no strong male characters in at least the first two episodes. Like I said, I didn't really have trouble with it other than the Klingons, and they're kind of mean. So
that's a really good point. The first two episodes and going back, Jim, I think if you and I look at it, the first two episodes definitely lay on the female domination of those two episodes, but I think what Bob's going to find out by the third episode, a very strong male character comes in. Won't go into what happens to that male character as time goes on, but he's a strong character to begin with anyway.
Yeah, they definitely kind of counter that, you know,
yes.
And start bringing in some characters. And you know, I think it's well balanced, you know, especially at, you get into the second season.
I was going to say the same thing with Pike in the second season. I mean, you can put as many strong female characters as you want, and he'll balance all of that out. Because, man, when we get into second season and talking about Pike, and we'll be talking about, of course, eventually when Strange New Worlds. I mean, that's where we get the whole title to the podcast is Strange New Worlds of Dimension X. I wanted to try to tie in those two things. I want us to be able to talk about radio shows like Dimension X and X-1. I also want us to be able to talk about Star Trek. And I thought Strange New Worlds grabs so much of what I like about Star Trek. I love that they decided on that as the title for Pike's series. And I, from the moment that first episode with Pike in the second season, I was saying to myself, how do you not make a series out of this with him? He just commanded this. Every scene he's in, you're riveted to his performance, in my opinion. I mean, he's amazing at what he does. The writing for him is beautifully done, and then the acting even takes it a step further. But the first season of Discovery, like I say, very interesting as well and a great thing for us to talk about. Just a darker feel that they kind of got some complaints about, I think. I think second season, a lot of it was dealing with trying to understand what the fans were wanting and steered a little more that way by making it a little bit lighter and a little bit more fun and a little bit more action instead of dark. But on the other hand, I think it's kind of like Star Trek, the original series, or any Star Trek. You have some episodes that are lighter and funnier, You have some episodes that are darker and scarier or whatever. I think the difference is in these series, when they have a whole season arc, if you're going dark, well, you're going to have a whole dark season, essentially. And they try to throw in a few lighter episodes in there, but it's a generally dark, right, arc. If the arc is an uplifting arc, well, you're going to have a whole season of fairly uplifting episodes. So you've got to kind of go into this knowing, you know, you might, where Star Trek, the original Star Trek, you're like, oh, well, I really love this episode. This other episode, not so much, but this episode was. With this, you're going to go, oh, that season wasn't my favorite season. I really like this season, because it's kind of like spreading out a episode over an entire season. So I think that's part of the dynamic that goes on here. Would you agree with that, Jim?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, you know, because this is like a lot of shows, you know, you basically have two different ways you can do a show where each episode is all on its own. You know, you can watch them any order, it doesn't matter, you know, so you can have a good, you know, one that's happy and one that's, you know, dark, like you say. And then you have other series that you really have to watch the whole series from beginning to end in order to see the, if you just watch some random episode in the middle of it, then you're like, I have no idea what's going on, because you needed to see all the episodes before it to really understand it. And I think a lot of shows, that's why they did them where they were self-contained before, because, you know, they, in syndication and things like that, or they wanted somebody to be able to tune in and see an episode and not feel like they're completely lost because they haven't watched the episodes before.
You couldn't do that as much then. I mean, we didn't have recording and you couldn't go back.
Yeah.
Now, if you miss it, you can go back. If you do that on TV, because they started doing that really before they were going live, but if you do it on TV, if the audience is in episode three and they come in, they can't, you know, they have much more trouble relating to it.
Yeah.
Now I can go back and watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as we're saying, most shows now are kind of done this way that are streaming shows. They're 50. And the other thing is too, just for sheer logistics of it, you can do a 12 episode arc, 13 episode arc. You start trying to do a 22 episode arc, it gets pretty hard to do. And that's probably why you don't see as much of that on regular television. Also for the fact, just like we said, for syndication, they want to be able to, you to just pick up and watch an episode here or there and enjoy it. And that's why certainly it's been successful to do it that way, because all your procedurals are done that way. You can sit down and catch an episode of Law and Order from any of the seasons anywhere and hop in and watch an episode and enjoy it and don't really have to think about what comes after it or what comes before it. With this series, if you were to drop it on regular television and catch it in the middle, it would be really tough. You pretty much have to watch it streaming, sort of thing. But that's the way this episode will always be available. At some point, maybe these shows get popular enough that somebody buys them and puts them on in syndication on one of the channels on cable or something. But I think people will realize that you pretty much have to watch all the episodes in order anyway. I like it. I like the fact that they do this. It gives you a different feel of Star Trek than you've had from any of the previous series. I think that's really cool that they do that. Certainly with Strange New Worlds, it's going to be interesting, because I've always thought in my head, if you were to plot something out really well, you could have an overlying arc, but also have episodes that have sort of a beginning and ending and are self-contained built within that arc. And that's what they really say they're going to try and do with Strange New Worlds. They want it to be more standalone like the original Star Trek and yet have some over like a season long arc as well. So
I think you see that though.
They can pull it off.
Bob? I think other shows have done that. Like the X-Files, you had individual episodes, but you also had the whole alien conspiracy thing running the whole series.
Correct.
Smoking Man. So it can be done. It's just a matter of planning it out.
Yep. I think so too. Even, I suppose, Lost kind of did that as well. I mean, you could watch the episode, but they also tied into the whole series as a whole. And I think that's a smart way to go, because then it kind of works either way. But I just hope
this one doesn't end like Lost.
Yes. Ideally, if you're doing an arc, I certainly hope that you come up with an end to your arc instead of.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're in trouble. But I will say, I mean, some writers, unfortunately, that's what they like to do. It's very strange. For instance, best episode of Star Trek maybe ever, arguably the best one ever, Next Generation, Best of Both Worlds. They wrote the first part of that two-parter. It was a season cliffhanger in the end of the third season. And they wrote that first half, walked away, came back at the beginning of the next season, said, okay, how are we going to end this? And the writer, the main writer of it, said that that's what he wanted to do. I don't think the second half is nearly as strong as the first half of that episode. Luckily, it's rewarding enough that it makes it a timeless episode that everybody seems to love. But the way they did it a lot is you would leave an episode and then leave it hanging and then come back to it, which is really strange. But I would think you'd want to write that, because the most important part is the climax of the thing that you wanted to really hit hard. And I would hope that you'd write that in. I assume for these overarching things like 13 episodes in a season that they would pretty well know this is where we're going to end. Bob?
Or they don't like have a place to go, like Twin Peaks was when Laura Palmer was, that mystery was solved. Right. It totally dissolved because they didn't have a method to support the plot line after that.
Well, in that case, they had an arc, but once they reached the end of it, they're like, now what? Right?
Yeah. So, that's what they did. And then part of it was the network told them, you're gonna solve it this season, and they weren't planning on it. And so they did that, and then they were like, oh shit. Oops.
So they solved it. You would think, okay, if they tell me I need to solve it this season, I would solve it at the end of the season. But did they solve it mid-season then or something?
It was basically at the end of season one. And then the whole next season, they were scrambling to try to find a new purpose in life, which they never did find. I mean, the episodes were entertaining, but yeah, they never did quite get there.
We're talking about Twin Peaks, Jim. So we're talking about having endings to arcs and things. And Bob's explaining that they had an arc that did the first mystery that kept everybody really interested, right? But then they didn't know where to go from there. It just fell apart. So if you do an arc, you've got to come up with another arc for the following season. Every season needs to have its arc. Or if you're going to change the show completely and have it be standalone, that's fine too. But you better know what you're doing.
The other thing I think they suffered from in that up is they were in this little town, and they didn't have, like, when they did the X-Files, which is kind of, to me, a lot in ways similar to Twin Peaks, they had this much bigger universe, or FBI agents that can have all these adventures. Mm-hmm. In Twin Peaks, you're in this little tiny town with these same characters, and they're, you know, without the Laura Palmer thing, there was just nothing left.
Jim, were you into X-Files? Did you watch any of the X-Files stuff very much, or not so much?
Yeah.
See, I was never a big X-Files person. I don't know much about it, but I do know, for listeners, maybe you tuned into this, I did a political podcast earlier this week with my son's girlfriend, who's Alicia, that you guys got a chance to meet, and she's very well spoken and everything. But he and her have sunken deep into X-Files, and they've been watching all the X-Files. So we should have an X-Files special and have us all on here with them and hear what their input is and things. And I should just shut up and be quiet, because I don't know much about it, but I think it's interesting hearing you guys talk about that series. So
I mean, it's been so long, you know, that
but having somebody experiencing it for the first time, It you remember back to things. I mean, like you were saying earlier, you haven't watched the first episode of Discovery in quite a while, right?
Yeah.
But still hearing Bob talk about it sparks it with us that we can chat about it and remember it better than you think you do, probably. Bob, at the end of the second episode, I can't remember what happens there.
So they try to so they want to capture the Klingon leader who's united the 12 tribes.
Right.
The 12. Because and they don't want to kill him because they make him a martyr.
Yeah.
So at the end, the captain and the second command that I think her name, the character's name is Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Burnham.
They beam over, the captain gets killed, which was kind of, I thought that was, I never expected that.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to, because I didn't want to tell you that before you saw that. So it's completely bizarre that they introduce this character, and she's actually a really cool character. I really like that captain, and introduce the captain. And then you go and you watch the second episode, she's gone, and then you're like, now what?
And then, in my brain, I
assumed, oh, well, that's because they're going to have Michael Burnham take over and become the captain.
Nope. That's the other thing. She gets court-martialed because of the way she basically disables the captain and takes over.
Right.
Tries to attack the Klingons, so she's, like, imprisoned.
Right.
And so now I'm, because I haven't seen the next episode, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Give away anything more than that. It's just, it'll be interesting going on this adventure with you as we talk about it, because did that surprise you when the captain got killed?
Because I was, like you said, it took me a while to warm up to that character. I actually didn't like her at first, probably the first 15 or 20 minutes, and then I really started to like the character.
Yes.
And about that, and then I'm thinking they're going to go over there, going to capture this. It's going to be like the old Star Trek. They're going to capture him. They're going to bring him back, and everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened. Yeah, she died. That was kind of shocking.
Well, it's essentially a little bit like, I mean, certainly it wouldn't have it would have been a greater impact over Next Generation because he's been the captain for a number of years. But it's like if in the middle of the Best of Both Worlds, if they came back the next season and were trying to rescue the captain, then he just dies. Gets killed in the process, and you're like, well, now what? Riker's in charge? I don't know what's going on. That's essentially what they did with this. I wouldn't be surprised if in the writer's room they were talking about Best of Both Worlds and said, well, what would have happened if the captain just sort of, let's do it. Let's see what, I would really, really love to hear the conversation that led to this happening. Was this always going to happen? Did they just all of a sudden decide on it? Like they're plotting out the second episode and like, wouldn't that be interesting? And I don't know.
I think it was always planned, from seeing how the whole rest of the first season and the second season and stuff happens, I think it was
planned. You can't give it away, but yeah. I get what you're saying. Well, or the fact that from the very get-go, this was Michael Burnham's show and all the promos and everything. She was the main person they would emphasize, which always struck me as strange. And then I was going, before I saw it, before they ever aired it, right? I was like, well, wouldn't the captain sort of be one of the main characters? And they never really played up the captain. They just played up her. And that's why, because of course the captain dies in the second episode. So you don't want to play that character up very much.
So kind of a medium deck show. Very medium decks.
Medium decks. I like it. See?
The middle decks.
Look at this. I'm sure they'll come to us and go, oh, we've heard about you. We heard your podcast. We heard Jim say about medium decks. We want you guys to write it, and we'll be writing Star Trek, the medium decks.
Yeah. Which
should, I think, be very popular.
We could just, produce it ourselves and act it out and have green screen behind us of different scenes.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is great. Well, I'm in the Twilight Zone, so this is great. But here's what I want to do, because I'm just curious with you guys, because, we're going to have these weekly Star Trek podcasts, but let's go with Bob. You've seen all the series, more or less, so bits and pieces of all of them, right? what order for you do you put them in? Like, let's go from top to bottom. What's your favorite of the series and working your way down?
Man, I'm with you. I like the original, but I don't know if that's because I was a kid and I watched it and I liked it so much. I don't know if it's sure. because it's nostalgic, but I have to put that one first. I'd probably go maybe Discovery second or third, then Next Gen.
Wait, hold on a second. You've watched two episodes of Discovery and you already put it like second or third. That's pretty impressive. I mean,
I liked it.
If the Discovery team is listening to this podcast, they've got to go, yeah.
maybe because you know, like
Space Voyager and all these and DS9.
Maybe it's like Jim said, I like the originals because the originals were preachy, but not as much as like Next Gen.
Yeah.
I just like, you know, Next Gen I'd have to put probably Deep Space at the bottom.
Okay.
I think I put Enterprise right after Next Gen.
Okay.
Voyager was Voyager.
You know, I didn't watch a ton of Voyager, so it's kind of
they're
tough.
Off in their own universe, just like Voyager really is. So yeah, that's fair enough.
but did they call it Voyager because of the first Star Trek movie? Is that why?
that was Voyager until they figured out it was really Voyager.
Voyager. Yeah. I think I have the episodes I've seen of Voyager, I'd have to put it after.
Way to play your geek card, Jim.
Your official card holder now.
I've got a royal flush on geekness over here. I'm going to mention the first Star Trek movie.
I try to not mention the first Star Trek movie as much as possible. Talk about just a
what you didn't like, hours and hours of the ship moving through the
yeah, it was like really you think this is gonna, like, people are gonna like this?
It was riveting.
I'm surprised they made any movies after that, to tell you the truth.
I was saying to myself before I went to see that movie, goodness gracious, I hope they don't show us a bunch of acting. I really want to see just shots, 20-minute shots of the ship from every possible angle. And if they run into some sort of space creature, boy, I want to see that space creature. There was no beautiful passing shots around the Gorn's head for 25 minutes or anything that could have done. This is riveting theater.
Have you seen the YouTube clip of Kirk playing a video game with a Gorn?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
It is awesome.
I haven't seen that one.
It's real. It's an old sleeve shaft.
So they're the two of them are sitting there playing, and then they, like, Kirk's like, I thought you had my back. Yeah. And the Gorns, then they get up and start fighting each other. Exactly. Like, and they have the music, and Kirk is like trying to pound him in the head. Yeah. And then he stops and goes, he bends over his back.
This thing that always works so well against people.
He bends over his back, so we're too damn old to fight like this. It's pretty funny.
For those of you wondering about that, that clip is available on YouTube somewhere. So just type in Kirk and Gorn and you'll find it.
Yeah, I will be doing that after we're done here.
Yes, Jim will look that up. It's certainly worthwhile watching because how long is that clip? 2 minutes?
Maybe a minute and a half or so.
Yeah, a minute and a half or so. It's definitely worth watching. I think it might be an ad for a game or something.
It is, because they're playing the video game at the beginning.
Yes, but it's not. It's not a Star. Is it a Star Trek game even?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. Okay, I could. Like,
I think it's
a game. You know,
the game is pretty old.
Four. Ooh. Anyway, but Jim, how about you go through your series, the order that you kind of place them in?
I would probably say Enterprise. I think I like that one the best, and then probably Discovery.
Okay.
And then the original, I think.
Yeah. Do the others even make your list? Maybe they're not even on the list. They're just like too low.
Yeah, I mean, the Next Gen probably, and then I don't know. It's a toss-up between Voyager.
Yeah. By that time, they're so low on your list, it doesn't matter.
I'm not finding myself going back and, oh, look, I watched that Voyager episode. Oh, look, I got to see that again because, you know, oh, No, I you know, I mean, there's the channel that we have that it seems like they have Star Trek on almost 24 hours a day, all the different episodes and stuff like that. And I find that, you know, I'll go back and watch the Enterprise episodes, and a few of the Next Gen, but the other ones, you know, I don't really need to go watch them again.
I think that's really interesting because Enterprise only ran, like I said, four seasons. And for the most part, people consider it the reason that Star Trek kind of died. I've never given it that much negative thought about it because I just think I wouldn't blame that show. It's just the fact that we'd had Star Trek for, at that point, 20 years straight on TV. It was, of course, going to lose some direction and people were going to have it be less popular at some point. So I don't think it's a reflection on that show. I think, like you, I would place that show a lot higher than most people would place it. For me, it, yeah, like I say, it's the original Star Trek just because it started everything off, and man, that first season is incredible. Then really probably Discovery comes next. And then, you know, I mean, I'll be controversial out there or whatever, but I probably would put the Picard miniseries next after the
episode. You didn't tell us that was an option.
I know, because I wanted to be able to take it myself and make you guys remember. So, which I've done. So, I think it's really well done, overall, I'll take it even over Next Gen. So,
yeah,
that's way out there. But then I put Next Gen after that, and then after that comes probably Enterprise, and then DS9, and then taking up the rear is probably Voyager. Now, I will say, if you look at my hierarchy, Voyager isn't terrible. I mean, I would watch episodes of Voyager. It just shows how much I like the entire run of this, all the shows. But I just think, unfortunately, I think online, Picard and Discovery get bashed way more than they should. And like I say, so often it's by people who haven't even watched them. They just bash because they refuse to pay for them or whatever. And I think with the production values, with the fact that I get whatever it is, 15 hours of Star Trek or something versus waiting 3 years for a movie and getting 2 hours, I'd much rather this than that. I love the fact that we might eventually be getting a new Star Trek episode every week of the year. And maybe Lower Decks, like we say, I might not want to tune into as much. But the fact that I might be getting episodes of Picard and episodes of Discovery and episodes of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, I think that's exciting. I think this is a very exciting time for Star Trek fans. And it's especially telling that all three of us rate Discovery so high on our list. That's kudos to the folks that write it, kudos to the writers, kudos to the everybody along the whole thing, all the producers, the directors. I mean, they've really done a bang up job. And I got to say, especially to a shout out to Riker. Great. I can't remember Riker's name. Somebody help me with Riker's name.
Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah. Jonathan Frakes. Thank you. He, when he directs an episode, I hear so many good things about it from the actors that are in it. So many good things from the production team, everything. And when you watch the episodes, they are some of the best put together episodes. I just love what he does. And he now is doing, you know, 2-3 episodes of each series as they're going. And he's done Orville. Oh, we haven't talked about Orville. Let me ask about Orville. Have you guys watched any of Orville? Do you think anything of that?
I actually like it.
Good.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it better than probably Next Generation.
There you go. I was surprised. Another one. I was, and they knew they were going to surprise us. I mean, I was went into it thinking it's going to be like a comedy and it's going to be like a parody and it's going to be more like the Airplane movies or whatever done with Star Trek. but it's really not. It's really an homage to, I mean, really, it's an homage to Next Generation. It is essentially, it's not really a takeoff on the original series. It's not like Discovery. It's not, it's like saying, okay, I'm going to take and make Next Generation stories now with some characters that aren't quite the same, but are darn similar. But do it in a funny way and do it in an entertaining way. And yeah, I love that series. I think it's great.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, I like that it kind of takes its, it can be somewhat serious, you know, telling the story, and then they can just have a scene that's just, you know, total parody and yes, you know, and then other humorous things. And so it's kind of, you get a serious story going on the whole thing, but then it has parts within it that are just,
right,
or, you know, and
so. Well, and the first season, I got the more the impression of they're trying to figure out what's that tightrope we're walking between comedy and between serious. You'd end up with some episodes that erred on the side of being too comical and they lost a little bit of the emphasis they would have. You got some that were too serious and they lost a little bit of the comedy. But I'd say by the second season, they had that pretty well worked out. And the third season is coming up. It's still not out yet, right? It's coming up soon.
Yeah, who knows now? It might be a year or two from now. For
with everything going on, who knows? But I do know that
for those of you watching this a long time in the future, this is 2020.
Yes. No, that's some good.
Weird things happened in 2020. You know, ask your grandparents about it, what it was like in 2020.
Well, I'll run reruns of my podcasts that I did. I've done podcasting so long. Some of my early ones are like 2005. I'll enter one from 2005 and it'll mention something and then someone will write me an email saying, well, that thing you said, when is that happening or whatever? So, well, it happened 15 years ago. So, yeah. So that doesn't help.
Just so,
it's always good to mention the date. It is 2020. And
we also did make it through the millennial 1999-2000 thing. The computers didn't crash.
Yes.
So I think we're through. Yeah, we're okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. No, but we love doing this podcast for you folks. I hope you keep on tuning in. It is fun to talk about. I'm delighted that we get to talk about Star Trek. I'm delighted that we get to talk about these other great series from radio that we get to chat about. Please join us every week as we do this. Any parting comments, Bob, for anybody, or just Bob, I should say?
I'd say if you're bashing Discovery, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't. I read a bunch of reviews, and after watching, I didn't understand why people bash it so much.
Yes. Well, I didn't watch it, so there you go. Tim, any parting things from you about this?
Yeah, definitely stick with Discovery because it's you know it's a good show. I'm looking
and forward. Jim would also like you to, on Netflix or whatever you're watching, go back and watch Enterprise because he endorses it highly.
Yes, that's right. I want a new season.
Yes.
and also I'm pretty sure that Jonathan Frakes really likes your shout out. You know, he's gonna say, I got a shout out on
podcast. Especially he's gonna like my shout out in that I didn't remember his name other than his character. Yeah. Shout out to the director Riker.
That Riker guy, whatever his name is, he's good. I don't know who he is, but
you can't have a more ringing endorsement than that, I tell you.
Pretty much.
Well, let me jump on something you just said because I thought it was interesting. I honestly would be cool with, you know, because they're trying to find more series to do and things. I would love for them to revisit Enterprise and do it with higher production values and everything. And I know that'll never be the case because they're going to go, hey, that was a failed series. Why are we going to bring back a failed series? But
I think
I like that it was.
It ran longer than the original. The original only ran 3 seasons. This ran 4. See, it was a big success, man. Anyway.
I like that it was a, you know, the early, you know, it was showing the early times of the space travel and stuff like that. So it wasn't, you know, like, oh, we're flying around the big next gen ship. You know, everything is great and everything, you know, works perfect. And, you know, all our interactions, you know, it's like it's showing like those earlier, rougher days of trying to deal with space travel and trying to deal with.
Jim is such an addition to our podcast. He gives me so much more to talk about and think about. One thing we haven't gotten into is the fact that this series takes place, Discovery, takes place, I think, 3 years after the first, after the Pike episode of the original series. And a decade before Kirk takes over the ship, right? So, does it bother you at all that it looks so futuristic compared to what you would kind of picture, that it doesn't look like it takes place a decade before the original Star Trek series? Or can you accept
that? I thought it looked too futuristic, but it does have a dark feel to it, though, more like Enterprise. It's not as cheery like Next Gen. Right. It's kind of that submarine feel.
Yes, that's the same thing I was saying. I think I'm willing to give it a pass because to me, if Roddenberry could have done this production in 1966, he would have. But he couldn't. He did the best he could at the time, and he used paper and rocks and everything.
Yeah.
I don't think when you're showing this era of I don't want to see paper mache rocks. If you can do real rocks and you can do phasers that look better and you can do, then do it.
Or look, the neighbor kid said, remember talking to the neighbor kid about the episode with the Horta? He was like, yeah, well, it looked like a walking carpet.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think about this?
But yeah, I mean that's the thing is to me how it looks futuristic. Well, it is supposed to be in the future, and it's just a matter of the production capabilities of the time. I guess now, you know, with Discovery, you have, you know, very, very detailed, lots of stuff going on. And then you have like the original Star Trek and even next generation. They're kind of like the Tesla design of an interior car, you know, very sparse, you know, a few things in there, but not nearly as much stuff crammed in as what you would see in Discovery in their ship.
I agree. And I was going to say something about that too, about I think it's kind of funny that, say, and Bob doesn't know this, but, and it's not much of a spoiler, but the second season, they really kind of bend over backwards to explain why the Enterprise doesn't have 3D technology and things, and it only has just regular view screens. And they make a big point of it'll always have just two-dimensional view screens. And it's like, really, they're gonna have a ship, and they're gonna say, you know what? There's new technology out there that we can use, but we're not gonna use that. We're
never gonna retrofit it.
Yeah. Really? Because like, there's all sorts of holograms in Discovery.
Right, but they're not going to use those on Enterprise. They're just trying to explain why Enterprise has this. But so we're now retroactively going, so I guess Kirk was flying around in a ship that had flat screens and everything, and everybody else on all the other ships always had holograms and things. But whenever we've seen a shot from inside another ship during Star Trek, they never had holograms either. So it's like, whatever. But that's something I'm really willing to let go. I don't think they need to explain why they had those, but whatever. That's up to them and the fans to figure out. But thank you again for joining us for a more deep Star Trek conversation. Join us next week for more Star Trek Speaking, the new podcast. Exciting. Burning up the nation. I'm sure it's going to get downloaded a million times. So enjoy. Ta-ta, everybody. Jim, you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye.
Bob?
Live long and bye.
Live long and bye. I like that. So, Bob, you're going to wish him a good evening and a good morning?
Yes. I can't say America anymore because it's worldwide. I got caught in that the first time we were on.
Yes, you did.
Goodbye, world. Have a good day.
Goodbye, world. Do we need to send somebody to your house, Bob?
We're not going away permanently, guys. We'll be back next week. Anyway, enjoy. All right, ready.